This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:33. January's chemical spill from Freedom Industries into the Elk River put a spotlight on drinking water quality in West Virginia. Questions began to arise about West Virginia American Water's operation choices, like why didn't they shut down their Charleston treatment plant when the spill occurred? Others wondered why a secondary intake wasn't in place in case of contamination. As Dave Mistitz reports, the Department of Environmental Protection is hoping to reclassify a portion of the Kanawha River to allow it to become a potential source for drinking water.
There's a 72-mile stretch of the Kanawha River that runs from the small town of Diamond near Bell in southern Kanawha County all the way to Point Pleasant, where it flows into the Ohio. Since 1980, this section, known as Zone 1 by the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, has been exempt from being designated Category A, meaning it's not to be used as a source for drinking water. More than 30 years ago, chemical plants were clustered along the canal across Zone 1. Today, the DEP says water quality across that stretch of the river has vastly improved, as many of those plants no longer remain. Last night, the DEP held a public hearing on a proposal to lift the exemption from Category A. The change would spur on even stricter water quality standards. Julie Archer, representing the West Virginia Citizens Action Group, spoke in support of the reclassification.
We recognize that the redesignation doesn't automatically make the river safe to drink, but we think it's a step in the right direction towards a cleaner Kanawha River, and it opens up the possibility for West Virginia American Water to propose a secondary intake.
While most of those in attendance spoke in support of the proposed change, Rebecca Randolph of the West Virginia Manufacturers Association argued against the reclassification.
We submit that making changes to a provision that has been in water quality standards for decades before it's determined that such an option would even be feasible, either economically or technically, is clearly putting the cart before the horse in this case.
Randolph argued costs for businesses for additional testing, as well as costs to comply with drinking water standards, would be too much for industries that remain along the river in Zone 1. Whether or not West Virginia American Water has interest in creating a secondary intake is another question altogether. Kevin Coyne of the DEP's Division of Water and Waste Management says getting to that point will take some time.
That would be a process that they would have to do with the Bureau of Public Health. Also, they would be more involved than we necessarily would be. But they would need to go through the analysis, look at what the water quality of their intake, what's coming in, what type of treatment they would need to do at that time. And there's a lot of steps involved from their aspect, but we are still years away from even getting this approved.
Coyne says the proposed changes would have to be approved by the state legislature, as well as the federal level Environmental Protection Agency. In an email, West Virginia American Water spokeswoman Laura Jordan says the company doesn't currently understand what water quality changes may allow for a reclassification of Zone 1. She says once the company understands corresponding data, they will factor that into their evaluation of backup water sources as part of their source water protection planning, as per the newly enacted Senate Bill 373. The bill requires existing public water utilities to create protection plans by July 1st, 2016. Public comment on the matter will be accepted until July 21st. The DEP plans to submit their proposed rule changes to the Secretary of State's office on August 1st. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.
During the school year, children are guaranteed at least one full meal a day, something that goes away during the summer months. As Cecilia Mason reports, some churches in Jefferson County are teaming up with other organizations to offer free lunches to kids.
Three Harpers Ferry churches are teaming up with the Jefferson County Council on Aging to provide summer lunches and activities for children. The Trinity Meal Program, MEAL stands for Methodist, Episcopal, and Lutheran, is piggybacking on the Senior Lunch Program to offer the meals for the children. State Senator and Lutheran Pastor John Unger is one of the organizers.
The child can come, and if you're 18 or younger, the child will eat for free, regardless of their socioeconomic status. And we don't take names. All we do is count the number of the meals. And also, if they want a second meal, they can have a second meal.
Unger says Monday through Friday at various locations throughout the county, lunch is served at noon, and then activities are planned for the children and seniors to participate in.
We've had everything from bingo to community gardening to actually dance, a dance-a-thon. People have been reading to the children. Seniors have been reading. It just varies. The various activities have just been to just get people to interact, to also get them physically motivated as well, because, of course, healthy lifestyle includes not only nutritious meals, but also exercise.
Unger says there's a great need in Jefferson County to continue offering children lunch when schools are not in session.
We do have a large number of children that are designated as homeless. They qualify for free and reduced lunches during the school year. And so this gives an opportunity for them to continue to be provided nutritious meals during the summer and have interaction with other children as well as seniors.
And Unger says since the program started, more seniors are showing up for the lunches as well.
And what we're hearing is that these seniors are coming because they want to volunteer and work with children. And so therefore, they get out of their homes, they eat a nutritious meal, they interact with children and other seniors and other adults. And so that's a healthy life for them as well. So it's a win-win.
Every Monday through Friday until August 15th, a free lunch is scheduled at one of the three churches in Harpers Ferry and Bolivar, the Blue Ridge Mountain Volunteer Fire Department, or the County Senior Center in Ranson. Unger says the meal program is a model that other counties can use to offer children free lunch during the summer. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:40. Partly sunny today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms continuing, lows in the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org.
This morning, we take another look at the Turn This Town Around project in Matewan, a historic mining town in Mingo County. Clark Davis has more on the continuing effort to revitalize the area.
The small town full of history is hoping that a key to turning things around is finding a way to increase tourism in the area. Known for its connections to the Hatfield-McCoy feud, some residents think the way to change things is to provide attractions for outsiders to come in and visit the area. Among the ideas is to better capitalize on the Hatfield-McCoy Trail, used by ATV riders throughout the southern part of the state. David Hatfield is a resident of the town whose heritage runs deep.
Matewan's long overdue for this, and this town is near and dear to my heart. Sid Hatfield was my great-great-uncle. He was involved in the mine wars in the 1920s, and somehow I feel compelled and obligated to be here to try to help out.
But it's not just the use of ATVs. Hatfield and others would like to see shops and artisan centers develop in the town, along with the idea that with the creation of an amphitheater, the area could turn into a destination for West Virginia residents to come see plays. Hatfield tells a story of a visit to Pigeon Forge in Tennessee as why his small town could turn into an attractive tourism spot.
First time in 1987 or 88 when I went down there to Pigeon Forge to go out to Dollywood, it was a road similar to 119 or even 1056 over on the Kentucky side here. And it was 3 hours from downtown Pigeon Forge to Dollywood in bumper-to-bumper traffic going in and 2.5 hours to come back out. So that being said, now there's a four-lane highway being expanded to 6 lanes.
It's those ideas of similar areas that have become attractions that people like Hatfield are looking to as an example of how things could be with the right changes. According to Hatfield, the keys to turning things around are threefold: teamwork, investment, and a lot of hard work. Hatfield and the rest of the group of active Matewan citizens met last night for the first of three workshops to hash out and continue to develop 20 different plans to turn Matewan around. Ideas range from becoming a theatrical hub to walking and biking areas and renovations of historic sites. They'll use grants from the Benedum Foundation that could see an influx of $75,000 into the community by the end of the project. Ellen Hatfield says there is unrealized potential in the area.
Because I see this has a lot of potential, and it's got a lot of character and history behind it. And I can see it becoming into a really good tourism place.
Kelly Webb was excited about the continued progress.
Now it's time for people to take action, and they said they want to do these projects. Well, it's time to do that. As long as we can get other people involved, and hopefully everyone will group together and really break down and work the projects. That's what needs to be done if we're going to turn the town around.
David Hatfield says in the end, it's going to come down to whether people work together like they should to make this effort different than ones in the past.
I think what we've had in the past is that everybody's been trying to go their own way on projects, and without a cohesive effort and a comprehensive plan, things seem to fail on their own. And I believe if we can pull it together, we won't have that problem this time.
The next two workshops will be on July 16th and August 7th. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Matewan.
If you've been following West Virginia news, you may notice that this has been the week of appointments. From a new state schools chief to members of the State Ethics Commission, names new and old are popping up in headlines across the state. At the West Virginia School Building Authority, it's a familiar face who will return to head the organization. David Sneed worked for the SBA for 22 years before leaving for a post in the private sector. Yesterday, he took his new position as the agency's executive director. I sat down with him briefly to talk about how he sees his role in the future of West Virginia schools.
So on your first day, it's a little bit early to ask about your legacy, but what is the future for the schools of West Virginia under your leadership? What will these future schools look like?
Well, I think I'm coming in at an interesting time because education's changing, the way people deliver curriculum's changing, project-based learning and those kinds of things are changing the way teachers teach every day. It's not necessarily a 900-square-foot classroom with 25 students and a teacher lecturing. Now there's more activities, and there's projects that students work on. And I think people learn better when they have projects to work on and then report out findings and research. So there's teams of students that work on different aspects of a school project. And it might involve English and math and social studies and science. And it all comes together that way. And I think you learn better that way. And I think that's where we're going to go in the future in West Virginia, and I'm pleased to be a part of that.
So a change in learning environment, but there are some other concerns I think that parents have under former Executive Director Mark Manchin. There was a lot of talk, especially after the Newtown shooting, about safety in schools. What can we do to improve the safety in West Virginia schools?
Well, we're doing a lot. Of course, in an open society, you can't solve all the problems, but we're doing a great deal. And one of the things I did before I left the School Building Authority a couple of years ago is I participated in a statewide committee that created the school access safety plans for each county, each county writes a school access safety plan, and they think about how can people access our building, how can we keep cars from the fronts of our buildings, how do we secure our schools. And a lot of that's gone in place. The state has spent about $30 million on that to date. And so we'll be implementing a lot of those kinds of things. Of course, we always do implement that in our new schools. But a lot of our old schools have been retrofitted, and a lot of those things are going on. So we're really trying every day and to always improve that. And you just never know how creative criminals might be. So you never know where they're going to go next, but you do your best.
There are so many people within the state of West Virginia that touch the education system, and so many different people with different jobs that really influence the way education is provided in the state. Where do you see yourself fitting in that puzzle? What do you think your role is in the West Virginia education system?
Well, a school can have an effect on the way students learn, and then our job is to provide all the tools necessary for the teachers and the principals to provide, you know, a good quality education that you know, as the courts have said, that the state is responsible for. So that's what brought on the School Building Authority in 1989, and we've been continuing that, getting better and better each year, I think, at doing that. But the facility itself can actually facilitate a lot of things, you know, a safe school, a clean school, a healthy environment, and the type of classrooms and equipment that enhance what the teacher's trying to do. But, you know, and the bottom line is the teachers educate students, and we're there to help.
So when you all go through and you award your money, there are always politics that come into play. There's always criticism for who you all choose and who you didn't choose. Are you ready for those politics again?
Yes, I am. I'm very familiar with that. When I came to the school building authority, I was assistant superintendent in Kanawha County Schools, so I understand working with boards and working with boards of education and working with our board at the school building authority. Those kinds of things, you know, always pop up when you're, and it's, you know, it's important, I think, to have someone in charge that when you're handing out money, that's pretty important to most people, and it is important to me. And we'll work with the board. There is criteria that all schools and projects that come to the SBA are evaluated by. It's somewhat analytical and it's somewhat subjective as well. But there is a process in place, and we intend to make sure that process is followed and make our recommendations to the board. And we hope to have pretty good success. We did in the past, so we hope to continue that.
David Sneed, Executive Director of the School Building Authority, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. You can listen to and read our stories on our website, wvpublic.org. Like us on Facebook at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and follow us on Twitter at WV Public News. Our producer is Cecilia Mason. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. I'm Ashton Mara.